Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. How we think is what we become, or draw from truth and wholeness to become truth and wholeness. Listen as we discuss the idea of living by grace and not by bread alone. In this show, we will explore the operations of shifts in consciousness to experience states of being. There is just one God and one body, by Mary Baker Eddy from a work she did called Body. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and externalize the divine image and likeness. Swami, I see the title of today's show is A Higher Perception of Body. What is it that you would like us to understand about a higher perception of body?
Yeah, I remember having a conversation with a Christian Science practitioner about what I thought the difference between Kriya Yoga and Christian Science was. Kriya Yoga starts at the bottom, working with a three-body system, physical to mental to spiritual, whereas Christian Science starts from the top down, with the divine idea, the perfection of being, being spiritual. Either way, the goal is the same in the realization that life is purely spiritual. And I have something here from Bicknell Young, a paper that he did called Body as well, to kind of give you an understanding of where I'd like to go with this show. And I'll read it. There is a woeful lack of understanding among Christian scientists in regard to their present body. This lack of understanding of our body keeps us from showing forth better bodies. If we wish to heal quickly and permanently, as Jesus did, we must understand our present body as body is, and it is essential that we practice this understanding in order to give the world the true sense of body Jesus had, end of quote. Yeah, so in this show, I'd really like to focus on this progression of going from physical identity, identifying with ourselves on a sense level, into astral mental identity, and then eventually accepting spiritual identity.
Swami, I have a question for you. So he recommends that we practice this understanding of what our present body is. So could you clue us in on as what it is that he's saying, what the body really means?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest clue is in what Mary Baker Eddy wrote in the paper she did called Body, where she said there is just one God and one body. This idea of oneness is critical to understand ourselves spiritually, to understand ourselves from the perception of being absolute, because the mortal sense of life is dualistic. It is a divided consciousness. And when we are individualized by the world mind, we are under the government of material law. The law of karma, what we put out is what we get back, the law of reciprocity. And the idea of mysticism is to liberate us from the law of karma, which basically is driven by a belief in two powers. And so using the physical body becomes an important part in this whole process. Because as Jesus had said, soon it will be night when no one can work. Now it is day, and I must do the work of him that has sent me. When we do have a physical body, spiritually speaking, that is when it is day. And this is when we have the opportunity to seek this liberation we're talking about.
Well, I'm really curious about when he's saying that if we wish to heal quickly and permanently as Jesus did, we must understand our present body as body is. So are you saying that once we are under the realization that there is one body, there is only one, that is the vertical leap we need to facilitate any kind of healing?
The origins of the word heal means to be whole. For the most part, we start to understand all healing is basically the revealing of the divine creation. The divine creation is functioning right here, right now. It's perfect. It's changeless. It's eternal. Now, this mortal sense of life isn't real in the light of that spiritual truth. It's a dream. And so, as long as we believe we are finite, mortal, then we're in the trap. We're in this cycle of death and rebirth. And everything that we're learning to do is to free ourselves from that false belief.
Now, with Kriya Yoga, what is the procedure or process that we should begin to do just that?
Well, the idea in Kriya Yoga is this word darshan, is the ability to be seen by one who is in divine consciousness, which can lift you out of the physical, mental level into the spiritual state of awareness. This is how Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy could seem to heal people by revealing what is always there. The divine idea, or as Joel Goldsmith tells us in The Heart of Mysticism, and I'll read it. If you were to stand before Jesus Christ, the only reason you could be sure of an instantaneous healing is that he had attained more of this realization than you had. The only reason you can go to a spiritual healer for help today is that he has attained a greater realization of the truth of your true identity than you have attained. But you can go and do likewise as soon as you have arrived at some measure of that same realization. If individually or as groups we were sufficiently able to live with this truth, in silent meditation and receptivity, the history of the world could be changed by the peace, the harmony, the healings, and the successes that would come out of the united silent consciousness of two or three gathered together in my name, quote from the Bible. One moment of the silence that thunders in godly language is heaven. And out of that silence, an infinity of healings can take place. Wherever one is desperately reaching out for a realization of the Christ or for the help of God, that one could tune in to that silence and find peace. This silence, which has such tremendous power, is the consciousness of God. When the human sense is still, when the human mind is not thinking, not trying to make a demonstration, to get or to achieve something, when the human mind is still, the divine mind is an active expression in the entire universe. End of quote. Yeah, so as you progress with divine science, you really see, in order to get this higher perspective of body, we have to come out of this finite mortal sense of life. And you don't do it by trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking. Like we are learning, the divine creation is right here, it's right now, and it's functioning. Now, what we're creating with all of our thinking and all of our struggling and trying is we're creating the false sense of existence. We make the veil. So now we learn that by stopping thinking, we're no longer interfering with what is here. And of course, like we have been saying, it's not just about stopping thinking. It's really about having this birth of Christ in consciousness, because Christ is the saving aspect of truth. Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. But it is born in the silence and stillness. That's what brings the divine revelation, the physics of spirituality. Like attracts like. We must create a hospitable environment in order to invite the invisible, intangible, omnipresence into our awareness. And then at the same time, by having the discipline of not thinking anymore and being a faithful witness to this invisible, intangible omnipresence, we begin to activate our spiritual senses.
Swami, you had said earlier, if you can be seen by one who is in divine consciousness, that being can lift you out of the physical mental level into that spiritual state of awareness. But what do we do if we don't have anybody around us that can be able to lift us into that state of divine consciousness?
Yeah, well, then we have to climb Jacob's ladder or climb the mountain of transfiguration. The initiation we talk about in Kriya Yoga, initiating the process in spiritual development, which unfolds in three phases. And I think Mary Baker Eddy understood the relativity of things, especially in what I call the Martha Wilcox lesson. To be faithful and orderly with the objects of sense makes us receptive to the deeper things of the divine principle. And in Kriya Yoga, we enlist strategies. Things like skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, skillful use of food, skillful use of exercise. This would be our way of being faithful and orderly with the objects of sense. And one of the things that we understand, it's never the goal, it's only the means. And as we understand this idea of initiation, the idea of separating identity from being individualized by the world mind, and then reconnecting it to the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, the causal spiritual body, spirit. And how do we do that? By practice, by being conscious of that which is invisible and intangible and internalizing it in the physical body so that the body isn't longing for something visible and tangible or invisible and tangible any longer. We come out of being attached to the mental material world of energy, and then we begin to become dependent upon this invisible, intangible world of grace, spirit, the life force, whatever you call it. Once you have internalized the invisible, intangible omnipresence as your symbol for validation, the panel is wired. Now you are no longer searching in the outside world for validation. And then, of course, you become dependent upon that silence and stillness, because the language of spirit is silence. The activity of spirit is stillness. And this is the peace that Jesus talks about, my peace. You're no longer searching, looking, trying, striving, struggling. You're resting in the perfection of being.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Institute for Personal Development Incorporated is a Kriya Yoga ashram offering yoga classes in all 8 stages of Kriya Yoga, including classes, personal training, teacher training, residential program, online live classes, and online products for self-discovery and transformation. Discover, learn, and practice one of the oldest and purest forms of yoga, Kriya Yoga, by uniting ancient religion with modern science. Visit www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, we have writings here from Bicknell Young, and again, this is from his works called Body, and I'll read it. In the practice of Christian Science, we spend much time in gaining a true sense of body. With the revelation of Christian Science, we begin to consider the body from a metaphysical standpoint or from a state of mind somewhat illumined with the facts of divine science. From the standpoint of metaphysics, we do not deny our body because it seems material to us, but we do deny our human material sense of body. We keep our body and we understand and affirm that our body is an eternal verity, intact here and now as it is in truth, the one eternal body, the forever embodiment of divine ideas. The false appearance of false material sense that we call body is not body at all, but is a misconception of the one eternal body at hand. How many of us are willing to be absent from the limited material sense that we call body, and to be present with the true sense of body that is spiritual, painless, harmonious, mind-governed, and mind-sustained? End of quote. Swami, what are your thoughts on this paragraph?
Yeah, this is really important to start to understand the idea of living in the divine self, in accepting and knowing the infinite spiritual self is the I of all being. And for you to experience that perfect spiritual sense of self, the you that is seeking, trying, striving, struggling, planning, must be put off. And as Bicknell Young said, we do not deny our body because it seems material to us, but we do deny our human material sense of body. Once we have accepted and we live in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual self, that then begins to take care of what seems to be a personal physical body. In truth, there is no physical body. It's a reflection. It's just like when you look in the mirror. The image that is looking back at you, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that image, in that reflection. Now, as long as we are living from that level of awareness that we think the physical body is real, then, of course, we are out of the Father's house. We are not conscious of the divine self, and consciousness is experience. So we continue to externalize duality. We continue to externalize the belief in two powers.
So, Swami, question for you. So how do we deny our human material sense of body? I mean, we don't just want to just think it. I mean, right now it's just words on a page for us. So what does it look like? How do we do it?
Yeah, until you have divine truth in consciousness, you will walk defenseless amongst these non-existent powers that can seem to kill you. And the way that we go about this is like we had said. We wait on the Lord. We sit in silence and stillness. You start with a belief in the divine creation. You believe the omnipresence, the perfection of being is right here, right now. It is always, everywhere, functioning. And that is who I am. Now, in that silence and in that stillness, we wait for divine truth to illuminate our thought. Without the God experience, you really are powerless. You're still being individualized by the world mind. Without the Christ, which will take you out of the tomb, it will take you out of mortality. But before Christ can come to Lazarus, Lazarus must be buried in the tomb. That's an important thing. And so what seems to be this denial that Bicknell Young is talking about is really preparatory work for the resurrection, to be lifted out of mortality into immortality. And the preparatory work for us in Kriya Yoga is really, we're employing all of these strategies so we can control how we think and no longer react to the testimony of the material senses. And then in that silence and in that stillness, we are able to walk reason through this open door of revelation.
So we have an interesting soundbite here from Herb Fitch from Realization of Oneness, Class 17A.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
The channel for the dream is obviously the human mind, but the human mind isn't dreaming. The human mind is still the substance of the dream. The dreamer is the world mind. Somebody asked me about Lucifer today. There he is. The world mind dreaming is Lucifer. That's the fallen. That's the conflict in heaven, the war in heaven. But it's all part of a purpose. It's only when we come to the realization that the world mind dreaming is dreaming the world that we are in. Then we can see that the world mind dreams its dream through your mind. Your mind becomes a channel for the dream of the world. It dreams bodies. It dreams rivers. It dreams planets. It dreams a whole universe of matter, and the subject, and the object, and the actions, and the motions, and the lifespans, even the reincarnations, are all part of the dream. Every one of the reincarnated lives you may have lived are part of the dream. That is the substance of them. I, the Christ, never is incarnate. The word incarnation is misunderstood. There is flesh, and there is flesh. There is mortal flesh, which is dream flesh. And there is spiritual flesh, which is reality. Christ is spiritual flesh. Lazarus reborn is spiritual flesh. Jesus Christ reborn is spiritual flesh. And when you say Christ incarnate, that means in spiritual flesh. The word incarnate is incorrect, because its connotation is material flesh. Christ manifest is more accurate. Incarnate is often used and then abused because it has two meanings. Its first meaning is in the flesh, human flesh. When it's used by a mystic, it means in the spiritual flesh. Now, you have never been incarnate in material flesh. That's the dream. And so when you reincarnate, that's just the repetition of the dream. And the reason the dream is repeated and repeated and repeated is because we're still in the dream. The pathway to salvation is out of the dream. And so, first, incarnation is the illusion of being in the flesh. That is the meaning of incarnation, the illusion of flesh. Reincarnation is the return to the illusion of flesh. No actual incarnation exists because there is no flesh. And no reincarnation exists because there is no flesh to reincarnate into. But until we learn we're in the dream and what to do about it, we never come out of it. And as a result, we don't make our transition. We don't attain salvation. We come back into the illusion of another incarnation. So we're on the wheel of reincarnation, or the wheel of illusion, repeated and repeated and repeated until that day when Lazarus walks out of the tomb, when you ride on the colt of wisdom, divine truth, and it leads you on the pathway to transition out of the dream, which is all that ascension ever meant, to ascend out of the dream of this world.
Swami, I like when Herb is referring to what we call our world as the dream, and just keeps reminding me about that verse in the Bible that says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." So the Bible is giving us this instruction all along, and we just don't realize it.
Yeah, I think that's true about a lot of the information in the Bible, that we just try and comprehend this from a mortal standpoint, rather than from the spiritual sense that it really was delivered in. It's like we always say, we're caterpillars trying to read about what butterflies wrote, and it's a whole different ballgame. As I drill down with divine science, I find that Mary Baker Eddy didn't believe in reincarnation. And just like Herb Fitch had said, she didn't believe in reincarnation because she doesn't believe in incarnation. There is no material world. And this idea of freedom by grace, we have something from Joel Goldsmith, The Heart of Mysticism, and I'll read it. Illumination dissolves all material ties and binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. It acknowledges only the leadership of the Christ. It has no ritual or rule but the divine. Impersonal, universal love, no other worship than the inner flame that is ever lit at the shrine of spirit. This union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. The only restraint is the discipline of soul. Therefore, we know liberty without license. We are a united universe without physical limits, a divine service to God without ceremony or creed, the illumined walk without fear by grace. End of quote. Yeah, the more you understand this idea of fear, fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of self. Spirit has no needs. It is perfect, whole, complete. And so as we progress from physical awareness with fears and all of our needs and wants, and we move into a more intelligent, rational sense of understanding things with the discipline that he was talking about, discipline of soul, until eventually we walk reason through the open door of revelation, where we live in the divine qualities of peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, and we rest in that knowledge. Life is perfect. It can't be anything less.
That's going to end our program for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, when you scroll down, you'll see several buttons that you can press to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and externalize the divine image and likeness. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.